Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on ClaudioRelsano.com. Brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, Adam Zaluf. Today, our guest is Nick Kaplak, championship-winning baseball coach, Hall of Famer from Medina High School in Medina, Ohio. We're going to talk about the Pirates and the managerial search, the Major League Baseball playoffs, and predictions. Nick, welcome to the show again, brother.
Claudio, thanks for having me on. Love listening to the show. It's always a pleasure to be on. It's always fantastic to listen to. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. And you've been a guest on several times before, and we'll keep having you on. So thanks for coming on. Now, Nick, as some of you may know, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I said love coming on. It's always a good time.
All right. I appreciate that. Nick, as some of you may know, is from Pittsburgh, from Swickley, where I'm from. And he obviously grew up a huge Pirate fan, although it's getting harder and harder to stay a Pirate fan for sure. Nick, number one, did you think they were going to have this kind of a season? The over-under for wins was 79, and I said they were definitely going to be under, and they were. I didn't know they were going to be that much under, but did you think they were going to have this bad of a season?
Well, I didn't. You know, it was probably not mid-season, but we were about 2 weeks into the season, and I'm in Medina, Ohio, and so I don't get the games. And so I'm sitting there, I have DirecTV, and I'm thinking, do I buy the ticket this year to follow the Pirates, or don't I buy the ticket? So, boom, I invest in the ticket, and right out of the gate, I think they lose 4 out of 6 games. Made a nice comeback, looked decent up to the All-Star break, and then the skid, that mammoth skid of, I don't remember, it was 22 out of 20 whatever games. Mm-hmm. I even came in for a couple of those games, but before that it was late July. I came in for some games, and that's literally when some of the skid started. Some an extra inning game, believe against the Cardinals, and things just got there was a couple tough emotional games that they went through, and they wound up on the wrong half of some extra inning games, big comeback in extra innings, and wound up losing. I feel like the emotion just disappeared from the team, and then they started playing flat, and then it was mm-hmm. then it was over. It was just what seemed like a good season for the guys we had turned into just a nightmare. And I don't know how, I feel bad for Clint Hurdle. I'm not sure how he puts the brakes on and reverse it. And as a coach too, Claude, it can be hard sometimes if things go bad, and especially if you're losing one run games. And the beginning of that was, losing those one run games, what made it hard.
Right. Well, obviously the manager always gets the blame. And unfortunately, I've said many, many times, Clint Hurdle is as good of a person as you can get. Now, whether you like him as a coach or not, whatever, but I think that they really did a terrible job in the firing. They fired him the morning of the last game of the year. Now, he came to the office and he was doing interviews, and then they fired him about an hour or two afterwards, I believe. I think that was a terrible thing to do. They couldn't have waited till after the game was over. They couldn't have waited till 2 days later. I mean, to me, that was like a little bit of a shot. And I thought it was very unnecessary and unclassy, because one thing about Clint Hurdle was he threw himself into this community. He was, as I said, he's a good person. And to treat him like that, I think was terrible. What were your thoughts on the way they fired him?
I couldn't agree more. In the end of the day, you said you know, the manager gets blamed when things go bad and hardly ever gets the credit when things go right.
Right.
But obviously this year things went bad, and to fire somebody, you know, morning of the last game is, it's unnecessary. And, you know, it's almost like a little bit of a power trip from management. And it just sends a bad message. And just something that's, like you said, unnecessary. You know, a guy that has that kind of class is never bad-mouthed management, never bad-mouthed Pittsburgh.
Never.
You can't, not one time. I mean, he's had every right and every opportunity to.
That's,
you know,
for sure.
The wild card years, even when, you know, pick up some management could pick up some players and get serious, and they didn't do it. But no, he's had a ton of time, you know, a ton of opportunity to do that. Never did it publicly. And, mm-hmm. you know, you let a guy like that, who's like you said, thrown himself to the community, you figure out a way for him to go out with class. You figure out a way for him to go out. You know, you could talk to him. They could have set something up. You know, even gave him a shot to, you know, if he wanted to coach again, look around, that type of thing. You don't keep somebody on guessing or whatever, and then hit him on the last day. That's just
right.
I guess the good thing about it is he could talk to his players. He had his players one last day to talk to them, and you know, or you know, before he, you know, took off or whatever. But I really can't find much good in it. That's, I agree with you. Not a good move at all. Unnecessary.
One of the things that I didn't like is whenever they said that maybe his voice was just heard long enough. You know, you need a different voice. Well, he's been there 9 years. How many of those players have been there? That none of them have been there 9 years. The only two that were there for a considerable amount of time that I can think of off the top of my head is Polanco and Marte. The rest of them have been there for 1, 2, 3 years. So that's a poor excuse. So I think they did a terrible job. Terrible job. Now, obviously, they need a manager. And the names that keep popping up are Jeff Banister, who managed for Texas, and he's been in the Pirate organization a couple of years. Jason Kendall, who's never managed, who was the catcher for the Pirates years ago. And John Wehner, who's an announcer. And what I don't think any, if I were the GM, and they have money, so I don't want to hear about money. And I know that they're paying Hurdle his final 2 years of his contract, which I think is somewhere he's getting about $6 million, I think. But if you say you want to win, and real quick to go back to what you said about during the wild card years, they were an inch away, in my opinion, from being the best team in the game. All they had to do is get one more player, one more pitcher, but instead they get rid of guys, which shows that they don't want to win. But anyway, again, you hear about Kendall, Wehner, Banister. There's been a few minor league people they've talked about, but there's a few guys who are out there who are not only have World Series success as players, bench coaches and managers, but their names that would draw attention, it would let people know, Nick, that, hey, these guys mean business. And that is Joe Girardi, formerly of the Yankees, Ozzie Guillen, who's an unbelievable play caller. He won the World Series with the White Sox. You can say what you want about Ozzie Guillen, but first of all, he's not going to let anybody fall flat. And number two, he's one of the best play callers in the game and handles his pitching staff about as good as anybody I've ever seen.
And the one thing about Guillen, which, you know, we'll go back to that I love, is that guy would stick up for his players. He would let a car run him over to stand up for
right.
his players. And I saw it when he coached before. He is.
Yep.
Actually, he's on my A-list as a Pirate manager.
And not only that, but he's also he won't take anything from anybody either. And like I said, he's a damn good in-game manager. Mike Socha is as good as it gets. He was in a World Series. Tony Pena, former Pirate catcher, yeah, base coach. Willie Randolph, former Pirate, but that's not why I say he'd be great. Willie Randolph is a great baseball minds, and he would bring a fantastic coaching staff with him. Buck Showalter is a no-nonsense guy who, as soon as you see Buck Showalter, you would say professionalism. That guy would run a professional organization. And lastly, is a dark horse, is Phil Garner, who I saw during the Pirate reunion, still had, I don't care how old he is, you wouldn't know it, still has a lot of bounce in his step. He'd bring a hell of a coaching staff with him. And he's a former Pirate, and he cares about the Pirate organization. The bad thing is, Nick, the guys we just mentioned who have many World Series rings as players, as coaches, as managers, they won't even get a call. Those guys won't even get a call, let alone get the job or an interview. They will not even get a call. And so I don't want to hear that we're looking for the best person, because they're not.
Well, in my opinion, I mean, you didn't put yourself on the list, but I would take you over half, at least atop the first
well,
one that you said.
I appreciate that, brother. and you'd be right there with me.
And I appreciate that, but no joke. I mean, you would be a guy that would bunt against the shift, that's for sure, and focus on winning games rather than, pumping up contracts for the next year. But the when I look at Pittsburgh, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh and, you know, being around the Steelers, being around the Pirates, you know, fantastic year, 79 Pirates, the years that the Steelers were tough, they're struggling right now, sure. But they'll get it back. But, Pittsburgh's always known as a tough town, so I would look in the group for who is going to bring the fight. It's hard for
Good
a young
point.
Manager now. It's really hard for a young manager because it's hard to build that name and get on that A list, because mm-hmm. people just are – that's baseball. Nobody wants to take a gamble anymore. Everybody wants to – they want the safe bet. They I see it, and I'll get back to my point, but I see it with kids that want to play in college. You know, college coaches don't ask me at the high school level who's got the biggest heart, who's the guy you want up in the last inning. They want to know their 60 time. They want to know their, you know, how hard do they throw? What's their exit velocity? All this data, because they
Great
want to
point.
Back up. Well, we brought this guy in, and I have the data here. Well, you're losing. You didn't pick somebody that can play the game. Back where we look at the manager type of thing, you know, take a gamble on somebody young, tough, a little bit wild. That's the Pittsburgh attitude, because the Pirates have lost their way when it comes mm-hmm. to the overall identity of being a Pittsburgh team. You know, the Steelers are known as tough. The Penguins are known as you have to get that identity back. We can't be soft.
You're 1,000% right. And not to interrupt you, but you know, you said the word young, and I'm fine. Hey, my first year as a head coach, I was 23. So I'm all for hiring somebody young and giving them a chance. But when I was 23, I ran my own show. I did things the way I wanted to do them, not because I didn't run things the way, other coaches ran their programs. And to this day, I do things the way I want to do them, not the way everybody else runs them. And I think that's the problem with a young coach. He's going to do things the way everybody else does them. Those guys that I just mentioned to you, they're not going to worry about launch angle. They're not going to worry about exit velocity. They're going to worry about, is this guy going to go through the wall, above it, around it, or underneath it? Is he going to get to the other side? And that's what's missing anymore. And these coaches
Well, that's why I bring up Ian. He would be a Pittsburgh type of attitude. And you know, Tony Pena, you want to talk about a tough dude. I had the opportunity. I was in college up at Ohio Northern, and some buddies and myself, we rode up to watch the Indians play in Detroit. And so Pena was playing. He was on, he was on the getting towards the end of his playing career. He crouched down at second base facing center field, and there was a guy tossing him balls. He was putting them on eye level to the center field.
Oh, I know.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he did it
crazy
time
arm.
After time.
Yeah.
Crazy arm, but just a solid guy. I mean, so I like Pena. Yeah. I like Ian. The Phil Garner thing would be awesome. He's, like you said, he's up there in age a little bit, but that would be a phenomenal pick. Phil Garner.
But he's got more bounce in him than a 30-year-old, trust me.
And then that's good. But if you look at like a John Wiener, what's he done? I mean, I think he went seven. Remember, he went 7-for-7 when he first came up, and that's the only thing I can remember.
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to tell you something. He would not – look, first of all, I don't think that – I've heard him talk about hitting. I think it's not good. Second of all, him and Kendall, you need a personality. You need somebody strong. You need somebody that the players are going to respect. So, as soon as the guy – look, you know when a head coach, a manager, walks into a room, you just know it. He has an aura about him. He has an attitude, which is aura. He has a personality. He has a swagger. It's not fake. How he walks, how he talks, what he wears, what he looks like, what he smells like, everything. Not fake. Because people will pick up on the phoniness. And like I said, those guys that I mentioned, I've studied coaches for years. And there's an it factor. And I don't see an it factor in Wiener, Kendall. No offense, this is my opinion. You know, they might not be too crazy about me, and I could care less. But the Pirates need to make a good move, and I'm afraid they're not going to do it. But on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford, Pennsylvania. And I might be allergic to something, so I might call Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center because I keep coughing. But we'll be back with Nick Kaplak after these words from our sponsors. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Nick. So after all what we said about those managers, they're going to end up picking most likely Jeff Banister. So I don't see the Pirates. Now, I'm going to sound hypocritical here. I don't think they're going to have the same amount of wins as they had this year, or even less. But having said that, Major League Baseball,
they're going to have less for sure.
They're going to have, right. But
yeah, losing
having said that, Major League Baseball is not where it used to be, that you could maybe do something, you know, because everybody's kind of mediocre. So you don't know. You don't know. But let's talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs here. Now, right now, as we speak, it's the middle of the sixth, and this is we're taping on October 9th. This will air most likely on the 10th. But the Braves and the Cardinals, the Braves are playing at home, and the Braves are losing to the Cardinals in the sixth inning, 13-1. So it looks like St. Louis is going to advance and play the winner of the Nationals and the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers, you know, pretty much wire to wire, were running the table this year, and they have an unbelievable pitching staff, and they have guys, you know, who can pound the ball, obviously. Who do you like? Obviously, as I said, the Cardinals are going to win. First of all, who do you like between the Dodgers and the Nationals tonight?
You know, I like the Dodgers. They're playing at home. Tough place to play there, playing the Dodgers at home. And they're putting their ace on the mound, Walker Buehler, tonight. And, you know, a little bit of history there. He went to Henry Clay High School, and Medina played Henry Clay High School in 2012 down at Vero Beach, actually at Dodger Town, Vero Beach.
Wow.
And Buehler, Medina, we lost the game 1-0 to him. He struck out 11. We managed to get 6 hits, struck out 11. But the difference is he struck out 11. He walked nobody. Threw a complete game, walked nobody. He has, and I feel bad for my pitcher, a lefty, Andrew Sokolowski, lefty, threw amazing. Actually had a little bit better line. He didn't have the strikeouts and lost the game 1-0, but pitched as good as he could. We just couldn't get the run in. But Buehler, I remember him clearly being a phenomenal pitcher because he hit all his spots. That's why he had the 11 strikeouts.
Right.
You know, he could put the ball where he wants to put it. And watching him now, he's a phenomenal ace for the Dodgers. And I think that just puts them, gives them the upper hand.
I think who's pitching for the Nationals again? Is it Scherzer? Or no?
Yeah.
I forget who's pitching for the Dodgers. Who's their other ace? I'm drawing a blank. The right-handed pitcher. Oh, my God. Losing my, it's on the tip of my tongue. What's his name? The stud. Pitches for the Nationals. Anyway, I think he's going to do well tonight. I'll tell you why. I think that the Dodgers are swinging for the downs. They swing for the fence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Cody Bellinger, I if you watch him hit, now he takes a huge cut, and I tell my guys all the time, go up here hacking. Swing like you mean it, okay? But at the same time, you know, stay within yourself. These guys are swinging, and they're coming out of their shoes, as they say. But a guy like Bellinger, if you look at his bat path, he's trying to yank everything. Why in the world why would they throw him backdoor sliders and pitches outside is beyond me. Okay. Now, I think tonight I'm picking the Nationals because of that. I can be way off. I think that they're going to expose. I think there are going to be a lot of strikeouts tonight. And I think I don't see the Dodgers winning. I'm not crazy about their manager, Roberts. I think he really overdoes it with the pitching changes. Last year, Rich Hill gives up one hit, you know, and he takes him out. You know, he's just not my cup of tea. I mean, they're all like that, you know.
Right, yeah,
but
that's a whole other topic. It's gotten ridiculous with the pitchers cannot go. You know, you spend a bazillion dollars on a guy and he can only throw 5 innings. You know, wink, wink, Archer. Yeah. So
Strasburg, I'm sorry, Steven Strasburg. I believe that's who's pitching for them tonight, but go ahead. I apologize.
Well, yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah. So you're taking the Nationals tonight. You like the Nationals tonight. With the only thing on that is sometimes in the playoffs, what I noticed is 2 things. Guys tend to hustle, which you don't see during the regular season. And sometimes, they will adjust their swings and not take the big selfish cut and try to put the ball in play the other way with guys in scoring position. It's just a different mentality.
That's a good point. But here's the thing. If you look at some MVPs outside of the big name Reggies and the Clementis and guys like that, the guys who've done very well in the World Series have been the guys who, like, for example, if they're right-handed, their fields are left, center to right. I said that about A-Rod several years ago. I said the Yankees will do well, and A-Rod will be MVP of the series, or at least have a hell of a series, if his field is left, center to right. Now, if he tries to yank everything and pull everything, he's done. And that's the same with the Dodgers. If they go up there and they try to hit 500-foot home runs, Strasburg's going to make them look bad. You're exactly right.
You're exactly right
about taking the ball the other way or just not trying to pull everything. Right. But if you look at a lot of these guys from the Dodgers, I mean, they got that front foot. You know, they're really aiming for that down the line. They're trying to yank the ball, and I just like Bellinger is really guilty of that. You know, so that's why I'm picking the Dodgers. Or I'm sorry, Washington.
And it's almost hard to. There's like three phases of it because, all right, you're trying to pull the ball. Everybody shifts. Well, now when everybody shifts, so number one, you're trying to pull the ball. Number two, we shift. Number three, all right, do you pitch a guy in or out now that they shifted? Because if you pitch him in, you're going to feed it to the shift. If you pitch him out and he goes oppo, you're in trouble because you have everybody shifting.
Right.
So it's kind of I'm not big on the shift because you should be able to adjust stuff with just your.
You should be.
I mean, obviously, if a guy does something, you're going to move. You know, he has a tendency. You're going to move him around. But the shift that we get, and we don't get the bunt, and we don't get if you can hit a ground ball the other way, but the playoffs are a different animal. These guys, and I don't blame them. You know, I know you've had long seasons yourself. You know, our season up here is usually about 30 games, and we do that like in a couple months, and sometimes. I remember playing 17 games in 15 days. And by the 17th game, you don't know what day of the week it is. You don't remember who pitched what. And you're kind of spinning. And these guys, you know, during the regular season, 162 games or whatever, unless they're special, like a Clemente, like a Rose, like, one of those guys, that can come out every single day and put on a show for the fans, hustling and doing that. They just don't do that anymore. But you see it in two places. You see it in the playoffs, which is why I like the playoffs, and you also see it in the World Baseball Classic, which is one of the most fun things to watch. We'll get it sometimes with kids are cheering for their teammate, bases are loaded, they're yelling and screaming, and you know people say, "Wow, that's not how you play the game." And you're supposed to sit there like robots and. But when I watch the World Baseball Classic, here are the best professionals in the world playing for their country, and they're up there doing that. It's so much fun. And the playoffs too. You go to a playoff baseball game, you're seeing the guys up on their feet screaming and yelling, having a good time. It's just a blast to watch. We're actually seeing baseball, except for the launch angle and trying to pull everything and doing that some of that silly stuff that has kind of taken over the game right now. We get to see some real baseball.
Well, we're going to talk about that here after this next commercial break, after we hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford, Pennsylvania. Right back with Nick Kaplak. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070.
Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.
Okay, Nick, now before we talk about the way the game is being played slash coached, the Yankees, they dismantled the Minnesota Twins. It wasn't even close. And tonight it's between Houston and Tampa. And you know who the starting pitchers are, Nick? Cole. The former Pirate, and Tyler Glass, now a former Pirate. Can you believe that? Morton's pitcher for Tampa. I mean, so we won't get into the Pirate thing, but you see what they had and what they could have done. And Meadows is having a hell of a year for Tampa, and they traded for Chris Archer, which I was never crazy about that trade, but that's another topic.
And if you look at all those guys and you see what we and you do the math and you see what we have. You know, it's second grade math. We're in the hole.
Yeah.
Okay. We got rid of a lot of good players and you know, it's why are we always wrong? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, I think they don't want to be right. I think there was a song one time like that. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be right. Barbara Mandrell. No, it was Barbara Mandrell. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. I know my tune.
Right.
Britt Mitchell will be proud
of me. Back. Yeah. Way back.
But
that.
That's before you. But if who do you like? We'll get to the World Series later, but if Yankees are obviously in the Championship Series, do you like them against both Houston and Tampa or one or the other? Who would you like?
First of all,
who do you like between Houston and Tampa?
Well, watching yesterday, Tampa just looked like they were on fire. I was seeing some defensive plays. I don't know if you saw the relay that threw Juve out at home. That reminded me of some old school baseball, bringing it.
Sure.
And those guys were pumped on a relay. I mean, it was good, but yeah, like Tampa. And then I think the Yankees are just going to get too hot. So I'm looking at Yankees Dodgers in the series.
Yankees, both of those teams. First of all, Major League Baseball would love that, and both of those teams can definitely make it that far if they adjust their swings. If they're not swinging for 500-foot home runs, if they just shoot for line drives and cut that outfield three quarters, I think that they both have a shot to get in. I'm going to take Yankees versus Houston. And I'm going to have Yankees versus Washington. Well, St. Louis is going to be tough to beat. I'm thinking Yankees and St. Louis, and I'll get to the winner here in a minute. But we talked about the way the game is being coached. It seems like I said this numerous times. I forgot what year it was. Maybe in 2003 or 4 or 5, not sure. It was 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 when you had guys like Guillen and Socha and La Russa, those guys and even Madden for the Cubs is a hell of a manager. But I remember saying, if you're a young coach, get notebook and pad or a pen and take notes because these guys are good. Socha's teams were always known for being guys who could go from first to third on a single. Guillen's guys were known to steal, and Madden's guys would steal not the right time, right? But there was a lot of bunting and something too. In 2006, the Cardinals, led by Tony La Russa, and the Tigers, led by Jim Leland, were in the series, and the Tigers were making a lot of errors on bunts. Why? They would get the ball, they would field it pretty clean, but then they would throw the ball away. Why? Because they were so used to firing the ball at home that whenever they threw to first base, they tried to baby the ball to first base. They did with the guy's hit. They were not used to fielding bunts because in the American League, they didn't bunt much. So, and La Russa just kept bunting and Tigers kept making errors. Now, I don't know. I haven't watched every single game of every single inning, but I don't know if there's been any bunts. I don't know if there's been any steals. I think everybody's just going for the home run. And they're just throwing, they're just trying to throw the ball as hard as they can for two, three innings. And that's where the game is. There's really no, there's no strategy. It's just, here it is. Try to hit it as far as you can. And I'm not a fan of that. As far as, you know, I don't want to say the purity of the game. It's just, I don't know. It's just not the baseball that we grew up watching. And you know, we had sluggers growing up too now. I mean, you know, we had the Parkers, I mean, the Stargells and the Reggies, and I can go on and on. You know, George Boomer Scott, guys like George Foster, Greg Luzinski, Mike Schmidt.
There would be one Stargell in the lineup. Everybody else did their part, and you waited for Willie to hit a home run.
Right.
It wasn't everybody doing it. You didn't want nine Willies at the plate. You had Moreno doing something. You had Garner doing something, and Parker hitting gap to gap. And then you have Willie, you know, trying to knock one out, which he did in the big time.
Parker would hit about 25, 27 a year. You know,
which was
so he was good for some home runs. Yeah, right. Right. Bill Robinson would go for 25.
What people don't remember about Parker is he won the very first home run hitter contest. And if Dave Parker wanted to be one of these guys like today and hit home runs and adjusted his swings, he would have done it. And he would have probably had numbers to easily get in the Hall of Fame if he just had a selfish swing. And he didn't. He did his job. He was a gap-to-gap guy. His numbers are incredible.
Still be in anyway, right?
He should.
But do you like the way – do you enjoy watching the game as much as you used to? I mean, forget about the lack of personalities, but I'm talking about the way it's being played.
I like watching it in, like I said, I mean, I watch it during the year, but two things I like is I like watching the playoffs because I'm hoping, you know, to counter your point, I'm hoping that you see the Dodgers and the Yankees would adjust their swings, meaning, you know, they're trying to, you know, instead of trying to pad stats and hit home runs, they're trying to win a game. So I would hope they adjust a little bit. You know, you do know the enthusiasm and the hustle always changes in the playoffs.
That's right.
Like, you know, maybe not the Cardinal game to score, but if you look over at World Baseball Classic, you see the same thing with the hustle. But I've had many teams over the years, and I've had different styles of teams. And I've had a couple of years where I sat back and I waited for one of my guys. You know, I had the Ronnie Stouts, Paul Santonets. I don't know if anybody from Ohio listened, but they would know these names. That and actually Ronnie Stout is a guy that you actually signed. That was for my team. Got him signed, but I'd wait for one of those guys to come up and hit one out. You're going to have teams like that sometimes. But I also have teams where I look at and I say, you know, we're going to take bases and we're going to prevent teams from getting bases. Well, at the major league level, you know, and I've had many styles of teams. And so you look at your style, the players you have, and then you push something to the forefront and get really good at it. Well, all they're pushing to the forefront is this launch angle, home runs, and you don't have the guys. I just took my son. And I sat him down because we changed his swing a little bit. He's a really good catcher, defensive catcher, and he's a little bit small right now. And he'll grow, but he's a little bit small. So I bring him in and I say, Nick, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna switch you up a little bit. He's swinging like he's watching his guys on TV, and he's swinging. He just like we did. Well, I think we had better guys to watch. So he's swinging.
We had much better guys to watch, right?
Exactly. He's got a lot of movement, whatever. So I'm like, let's, and I showed him Rod Carew swinging. And I said, here's a guy that could put the ball anywhere he wanted to put the ball. And I showed him an interview with Rod Carew. And then we started doing it in the yard. And he's like, Dad, I like this. And, you know, we went up then to, he had a tournament up in Sandusky and was hitting the ball a lot better. Just switching it up to where he was a contact guy that was poking base hits. And that was, but we don't see that style anymore. It's very hard to find that style. And you have some guys, and actually they become your favorite player because you're like, oh, look at that. You know, it's usually a little guy. And you're like, look what he can do here, you know, and it excites the game. Madlock said when he won, and I love Bill Madlock, when he won the batting title, one year it was, and I tell all my players this, you know, he had so many bunt for base hits because he would see the third baseman back. He would lay it down, leg it out, and he says, that's why I won the batting title. And, but the other part of that, what I try to get in my players' head to sell it to them, is as they're watching Major League Baseball, as I say, all right, the third baseman's playing you in the grass. He has a cannon. You're not willing to turn and lay down a bunt, which would be a base hit. He's going to take a double from you. Well, what do you mean? Well, you're letting him play in the grass. So I'm like, you adjust him. If you lay one down early or even show it and it goes foul,
he's going to move
up. He's going to play you. He's never going to, he's always going to play you up. And it happens all the time. I'll show my players. I'll be like,
and your batting average jumps up. Right.
Oh,
no question.
Tremendously. Cause you now adjust the defense where you want it by how you, you know, approach your at bat. And bunting's a big part of that. Cause any,
even fake it, like I said, that's right. Even fake it, you know, because this way they don't know if they're coming or going. And
how many times
I'm with you 1,000%.
Fake steal in the major. Yeah, fake steal. But any of that
we
stuff,
do that all the time.
You do. I remember
we do it all the time because. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I remember. I played for you, and I remember that being a big thing, and to me, and you know, and I heard this analogy on defense before, but this is what when you do the fake steal, it's like, and I heard Brian Graham said this a long time ago, it's like your friend standing by you, you know, a fake steal or when you're throwing balls and he fake punches you in the stomach and you tense up and he fake punches you in the stomach. You tense up, fake punches you in the stomach. You tense up. Now you just relax. Cause you're like, yeah, he's goofing. And then he punches you in the stomach and you're not ready. So you're actually, you're doing the same thing I'm talking about. And you've always had that. You're a great coach. You've always adjusted the defense and I don't see major league. The defense is adjusting to the hitters based on what they have on paper. And then the defense, the hitters aren't forcing to them to readjust. And that's a big part of the game that's totally missing. And that's what I think messes it up a little bit. Just lay down a bunt against – and when you do lay down a bunt against the shift, you're a highlight on ESPN. They show it on there, and it's like, you know, it's a big deal.
I know.
Every hitter can do that.
Like a complete game is a big deal. But like you said, I tell my guys whenever they do the fake or you build yourself up a reputation of stealing or bunting, I always keep track of forced errors, how we make them, you know, rush the ball, rush the throw. But another thing is whenever you do steal a lot or bunt or fake bunt, what you're doing is you're making that other team play not just the station to station, base to base, but you're making them cover space. You're making them cheat. And again, that works in your favor as well, but now you and I are the exact same and we don't like where the game is, going the way it's played or coached, but, that's unfortunately where it is. And, I don't know if it's ever going to go back to where it used to be. And, but even, you know, you mentioned, we talked about some of the teams, you know, the Pirates, you talked about Cincinnati, you mentioned Rose. I mean, think about that team, you know, Rose, Bench, Perez, Morgan, Griffey, Geronimo, Concepcion, or the Pirates with Stargell, Parker, Marino, Garner, Madlock, Foley, you know, I mean, Ed Ott, Madlock, or the Yankees with Reggie and Pinella and Thurman Munson and Bucky Dent and Willie Randolph and Chris Chambliss. You know, I mean, God almighty, those teams.
You can take a step, like to get to where we are now, you can take a step and you can look at the Pirates with Bonds, Bonilla, Bonilla,
Van Slyke.
Yeah, Van Slyke. Handy Van Slyke was a phenom in center field. I mean, just played different. You don't see a guy throw in now and fall down after the throw.
No.
And he would do it just for fun. But
see, another thing, since you mentioned that, what they don't do, and it drives me nuts, is whenever they're going to this is our last thing before our last commercial break, but whenever they catch a fly ball, they catch it, they take three steps, and they throw. Back then, we were always taught, and you mentioned Van Slyke, to catch it with your momentum going towards the bag, and he would throw overhand, and that ball would, and Bob Walks said, well, Van Slyke really didn't necessarily have a great arm. He just put backspin on the ball. Get the hell out of here with backspin. He had a great arm, plus he used his body. Okay.
His whole body.
I don't want to hear about that backspin.
I watched that. I would sit there in center field as a kid and just get excited to watch him throw one and tumble over.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, how many runners did I throw out to, threw runners out to you to tag them? I didn't worry about backspin. I just threw the damn ball. You know, I used my body and I threw the ball. But we're going to take one final commercial break before we come back to make some predictions. So we're here. Again, we're going to hear from our sponsors, Inspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield, Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. We'll be right back with Nick Kaplack. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070.
Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.
Okay, Nick, we have our Dreher Physical Therapy lightning round, but we're not going to ask a bunch of questions. We're just basically going to make our predictions. I have the Yankees against the Cardinals, and I'm going to take the Yankees to win the whole thing. I think that they have pretty good pitching, not the best staff in the postseason. Real quick, I remember I was always an offensive guy, Nick. That's all I said, man, you hit the ball, you're going to win. You hit the ball, you're going to win. Well, then the 86 playoffs came with Houston against the Mets. I was a big Met fan back then because of Lee Mazzilli, and they had an awesome group of hitters. But then the Astros came with Mike Scott and Nepper and those guys, and they made the Mets look pretty bad. The Mets did eke it out, but that's when it really hit me. I said, damn, pitching really is important. But I'm still going to go with the Yankees over St. Louis in the World Series. What is your pick?
You know, I like your pick. I like the Yankees. I'm still going to lean towards the Dodgers. Okay. A little bit of adjustment, good pitching. I'm going to go with the Dodgers-Yankees, and I'm going to say Dodgers. And if it's Dodgers-Yankees because they're historic teams, it'll get pushed out to seven games and be a big deal. So I'm going to go Yankees. Dodgers win in seven.
All right. There you have it. Don't go to the casino and bet what we said, especially what I say, because I'm always wrong. But I think Major League Baseball would love for the Yankees, St. Louis, or the Dodgers to be in, because there'll be a lot of eyeballs on TV. So hopefully it'll be one of those teams and give baseball a little bit of a push. I know attendance was down this year quite a bit too. So that's not good for baseball. But I think, again, if it's the Yankees and either St. Louis or Dodgers, it'll definitely get high ratings. Nick, great job as always. I will definitely have you on the show again. Always appreciate your support with everything. Nick is Nick and his brother Vinny are not my friends. They're family to me. They're brothers and great people, great family. Vic too. We can't forget about Vic, your assistant coach. And like I said, always great to have you on the show. So thanks for being on the show, brother.
No, greatly appreciated. Always a pleasure being on the show. You do a great job. And myself, not only myself, my family on road trips, the kids, we love listening to the show.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we'll have you back on.
Thanks, Claudio.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And tune in again next week. We have legendary golfer from Pittsburgh, Missy Berriotti. Great, great lady, former CMU golf coach and very successful female golfer. And a great lady, too. I just finally got a chance to meet her a couple months ago, and we hit it off, and she's just a great girl. If you want to listen to the show, listen to ClaudioRossano.com on my website, on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. Subscribe to the show. Always want to thank our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Western Pennsylvania. Always have to thank Adam Zalouf, or else I'd be talking to myself. We wouldn't be able to put this on the air. He does a great job. And as always, always have to thank my mom and dad. Matter of fact, today, as I said, is October 9th. Yesterday, October 8th, my dad would have been 91. And it was also 31 years that my mom passed. My mom was only 48. And you always hear me talk about my parents. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Wouldn't have the life that I have if it wasn't for my parents. That's why I always make damn sure that I thank them after every show. Try to honor them in many ways. Our team has a tournament that we play in every year, the Olindo and Ida Rossano Baseball Classic. And we've had that for 5 years, and thank God we won it all 5 years. Sometimes we donate the trophy to the Heinz History Center, to the Italian-American section at the Heinz History Center, and that's always a thrill for me. And like I said, miss my parents like crazy and always try to honor them. Also, 29 years ago on October 8th was our first championship at Penn State Beaver when I was head coach there. I had a great group of guys. And so October 8th has a bittersweet thing, but always, as I said, I always mention my mom and dad, and again, all of you, I appreciate you guys listening and your great emails, and continue to listen to the show, continue to enjoy it. We enjoy doing it, that's for sure. Okay, talk to you guys next week. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.
The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy Dreher has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
Ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care
Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070.